to talk tonight on a subject that I shared in the announcements this morning. I've never spoken on as a topic in all my years in ministry. And I'm not sure why. I guess because it just wasn't impressed on me. But recently, I have been drawn to this topic, and I have studied it scripturally and socially on the internet of the many, many people it affects. And this topic is one that affects this malady, if we want to call it that, affects not only unbelievers, but believers as well. In fact, sometimes the more we take our stand for the Lord, the more we find ourselves in lonely places, being a lonely purpose person. To share on this first came to my mind as I read about this, as I stated. The startling discovery to me was that in some form it was an affliction of some of God's greatest servants. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not too interested in that because I are there any examples of that? And I went through the Bible and there are dozens of examples of lonely people among some of God's greatest, finest servants. I don't even have time to reference all of them, but if I had time, I could give you verses relating to the why I would say that these people experienced, and why they stated even in their actions, experience loneliness. Adam, Leah, David, Jeremiah, Naomi, Elijah, Paul, Joseph, and the list goes on. Every one of those individuals at some period in time, and here's most of all, even Jesus experienced deep loneliness. The Messianic Psalm that I'm referencing here tonight, when we say, what is a Messianic Psalm? It is one, of course, that has reference to Christ in some prophetic setting of foretelling what's going to happen. So I want to read to you verses 1 through 7 and of Psalm 102. And then I also want to read Psalm 25, verse 16. But here's these verses in the, here are these verses in the ESV. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. You ever feel like that? I forget to eat my bread. Sometimes you lose your appetite if you're deeply lonely or depressed. Because of my loud groanings, my bones cling to my flesh. And then notice this desperate description here. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. Most of the time, is it not true, when you see an owl, they're sitting off by themselves somewhere, up in a tree, in a building, in some secluded spot there, up there. He says, I'm like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. So that's a description of loneliness. Now let me read to you verse 25, chapter 25 of Psalm division 25, verse 16. Turn to me, these words of David. We're not sure who wrote Psalm 102. There's no solid conclusion on that, but this is attributed to David. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I, David says, am lonely and afflicted. Now, I prepared this message, most of it, on the aspects of what the Bible has to say about loneliness. And then as the more I studied it, the more I felt, you know, whenever I write a message, I probably think too much on it. because sometimes after you write it, then you start playing your mind. You think, oh, I should change that a little bit here. And so I do multiple changes, and they're not always for the better. But I was affirmed that I was on the right track when I got a telephone call from a person out of state this week in a counseling session just on Friday. And that person said, Pastor, I've never been so lonely and depressed in all of my life as I am now. So I want to talk tonight about this because I have a feeling that there are a lot of us tonight that hide our loneliness behind smiles, behind denial, behind even carrying on as though there's nothing wrong. But inwardly, if we understand loneliness and if we're willing to admit it, how it affects us and how it affects others. And well, the Bible, by the way, has a remedy for it. The thing about loneliness, the reason that it's so important for us to discuss is it's a traveling companion to millions of people in our day. Those who do studies in the medical world tell us that loneliness, surprising to me as I studied this, loneliness is as debilitating to our lives and our psyche, our mental being, aspect of well-being, as is obesity or drug addiction. Did you know that? That it can have the same debilitating effect on you, in your person, as obesity or drug addiction. The startling trait about loneliness is that it has so many traveling companions. You will very seldom ever see loneliness in an automobile by itself. It will be, using this figure, it will be packed with other passengers. Loneliness always travels in tandem with other afflictions of the mind, the spirit, and even the body. In other words, loneliness affects my mind, it affects my spirit, and it affects my body. Now, what are some of those traveling companions? The medical world, what I'm doing now is just describing the prevalence. It's not in your notes as such, but I thought of it as point number one if I had to rewrite this again. The prevalence of loneliness. It is this. What are some of those traveling companions? The medical world tells us that loneliness travels with sadness. If you're sad, if you're lonely, it's usually accompanied by sadness. It's also accompanied most often by depression, feeling forsaken, feeling hopeless, helpless, angry, fearful, or even suicidal. If you are a lonely person, then you will not only have to cope with loneliness itself, but all of its traveling companions that will want a place in your mind and emotions as well. Have you ever seen these big whales that run? I don't know what they're, a sperm whale. I don't know what kind of whale they are. But when they surface, they got all kinds of these icky little barnacles hanging on them. And sometimes they got these little bit, I don't think they're barnacles, but these little blood suckers. They literally suck the blood out of this big whale. Have you ever seen that? And when they surface, they've got all kinds of attachments to them that are sapping their energy and their strength. That's what loneliness does with all of these other attachments to it. Now, people from all walks of life, here's the thing I want you to get. You say, well, I'll bet lonely people are the down and outers. No, that's untrue. A lot of times, loneliness affects even the up and the outers. Can anybody anywhere at any time be more uncomfortable and feel more hopeless than the one who feels that they have no one to care about them, no one to love them or look after them? Loneliness is a cloud that hangs over the individual and blows through the corridors of our heart and mind with its damp, icy breath that takes the joy from life and the hope from our soul. Here's a startling statistic. According to a recent study, more than 60%, 6 out of 10 of all Americans say they are lonely, with more and more people feeling they are left out, not understood, or lack meaningful relationships or companionships in their life. Loneliness is on the rise in America, and there's some reasons for that. We'll talk about it. One of the things that we need to know is that prosperity cannot insure against it. Position cannot rise above it. Power cannot stand before it. Cigna, which is one of the largest healthcare providers in the United States, found that there is an increasing rise in loneliness in the lives of Americans, particularly since the years of 2018. Now, what I'm sharing before we get to point number one is the prevalence of loneliness in America today, and it's in non-Christians and in Christians alike. The New York Times featured a study on loneliness and declared our society has reached a place of where this would be considered medically an epidemic. A former U.S. Surgeon General of the United States stated some startling statistics. He said that loneliness can shorten a person's life by as much as 15 years. That's quite a bit. We see people all the time come into the office in there that I think they've shortened their lives through drug addiction because it's just ruined their teeth, it's ruined their life, taken their health. But loneliness, less evident by far, can shorten a person's life, provenly, by as much as 15 years. He stated, during my years caring for patients, the most common pathology, now this is the U.S. Surgeon General, the most common pathology or causal factor, if you want to say, he says, the most common factor I saw was not heart disease. It was not diabetes. It was loneliness. 1 in 6, nearly 20% baby boomers, that's people, by the way, between the ages of 55 and 73, and there are 72 million of those people in the United States. Nearly 20% of all baby boomers live alone. 50% of those individuals don't know their neighbors' names. And perhaps the strangest of all is that though this references baby boomers, loneliness is not an affliction of just the elderly. Statistics show that Generation Z, that's the 18 to the 22-year-olds, and the millennials, that's the 22 through the 37-years-old, have the highest rates of loneliness. So the crisis of loneliness is as grave a threat to a person's health as is obesity or substance abuse, as we said earlier. Research, and I'm just setting the groundwork now for when we come to what the scriptures say here. The research tells us that lonely people are more likely to become ill, experience mental decline, and die early. Feeling lonely results in a 60% increased risk of functional decline and a 45% greater risk of death. If you battle loneliness, you are in company with the man who wrote these words in the book of Psalms. Imagine you're counseling somebody or they talk to you as a friend or a counselor and you hear them say, I feel like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins of a building. I lie awake at night. I've become like a bird alone on the roof. You don't have to read very far in that psalm before you realize those are the words of a man who's about as down and out mentally and emotionally and spiritually as any person could be. What is his problem? Loneliness. He felt like a pelican all alone in the wilderness, like an isolated owl wondering out loud, who gives a hoot? Terrible pun, but it's there. Hearing those words, many of you are saying, Pastor, I identify with a lot of what you're saying. If it is, then I have some news for you tonight that there is a way out of loneliness. I want to say also, before I go any further, farther, I'm not sure which one's correct there, farther maybe, any further, I don't know, should have checked that out. I want to say this, that loneliness is not a sin. It's an amoral aspect of our being. Loneliness, and I'll talk about this, has great potential, however, to lead us into sin or to justify in our minds sinfulness. It affects our psyche in that manner. So let's begin here now by talking, number one, about the problem of loneliness. First of all, there's some important foundational things that you need to understand. There is a big difference between being alone and being lonely. Just because you are alone does not mean that you are going to be lonely or that you will become lonely. You see, you can be alone and yet not lonely at all. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are times when we do all need to be alone and enjoy being alone for periods of time. That's called solitude. We're not talking about purposeful times or moments when you just want to be by yourself. Every one of us that I know that's normal at times says, I would just like to be by myself for this period of time. In fact, most Christians practice a time of solitude, not of loneliness, but practice a time of solitude when they have their devotions. They go off to the prayer closet or they go off somewhere where they can talk to the Lord by themselves or talk to Him in solitude. So you can be alone and not lonely. Now, let's go to the next part. You can be in a let me put the point down here. You can also be lonely without being alone. You can be in a crowd and hundreds or even thousands of people and still feel very lonely. Henry David Thoreau, I put in your notes, said, a city is a place where hundreds or thousands, depending on the size of the city, a city is a place where thousands or hundreds of people are lonely together. Do you believe that? If you went to any major city in the United States comprised of hundreds of thousands, you would find multiple thousands of people, some of them living in the same apartment, some of them living right next door to an individual, to a neighbor they either have never talked to or couldn't identify their name if their life depended on it, and they are lonely together. Loneliness, someone said, and I like this, what is loneliness? This is just one man's thoughts. Loneliness is being unaware of the one who is with us everywhere. I really like that, don't you? Loneliness is being unaware of the one who is with us everywhere. Now, someone else said, the silence of loneliness is deafening. You can hear it in so many aspects. You can see it in so many aspects of life. You can hear it at night as you crawl into a bed half empty because your spouse walked out. You can see it in a home that is quiet because all the kids have grown up and moved out. Or you can feel it in your heart because your spouse has recently died. You can experience in a mailbox that is empty because no one writes anymore. You can see it in a computer because in your email dries up. It's a phone that does not ring because no one calls anymore. There's just not a feeling quite like loneliness. Because all we want to be, every individual wants to be noticed by, thought about, and cared for by someone. A neurologist True story. Told the story of a schoolboy who was expelled from school for misbehavior. He sat outside the classroom, like if you take this window over here. He sat outside the classroom and threw rocks softly against the window. And finally the principal went outside and confronted the boy and said, "Why are you throwing rocks at the window?" He said, "Because I just wanted everybody to know that I'm still here." So many of us carry rocks in our pockets. We want people to know that we are still here, that we're still a human being, that we still have feelings. Often, even as adults, or especially as adults, I could say, I guess I put down even, but I think maybe we could say especially or even as adults, we do inappropriate things or even destructive things. We act in selfish or sinful ways. We say meaningful or hurtful words to others because for some lonely people, getting attention through wrong behavior or words is better than no attention at all. And if you're a parent, it doesn't take you very long to know that your children do that once in a while. That if they feel neglected or if they feel there's been an inequity, they sometimes will act out inappropriately just for your attention. Loneliness is associated with a 40% increase in a person's risk of dementia and mental decline. We need to see that it is a problem. It's a problem for us as believers because we all experience it in ourselves. I'm going to explain that in a few minutes. Some more than others. We all experience loneliness ourselves. And secondly, as believers, when the Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you," we need to realize sometimes that the way certain people act the way they do or say what they do is born out of that malady of loneliness, and they're hoping for some type of action or reaction. So, is loneliness a problem? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Number two, the presence of loneliness. To battle the problem of loneliness successfully, you have to at least understand why you're lonely. There's simply no denying the existence of the effects of loneliness. Have you ever noticed? I saw it again today when I watched for a few plays of the Denver Broncos. And then I got scared they were going to lose, so I turned it off. I like to watch games where I know who won before I start watching it. And when that $165 million quarterback went 3 for 11, I thought, I can review more for the message tonight. And I shut it off. But I found out they won. They won. Yay. So there it is. But to understand loneliness, you have to notice, here's my point. Have you ever noticed all the beer commercials? And you never, ever see in all of the beer commercials, do you see any lonely people sitting around drinking at a bar? No, they're in bikinis. They're these muscle guys with no big stomachs. They're the fellas that are out there on the beach and they're drinking Ultra or all of, I can't even remember all of the different things possibly because I don't care. But you'll notice it's a setting of scenery. They want you to think everybody's doing this and everybody's having a kick. Why are you all by yourself over there? It's always the fact that they want to tell you this subliminal message that on the beach with a host of friends and a cooler of beer, you will never feel lonely. And if you believe that, you're mistaken. You might feel better for a time depending on the amount of alcohol you take in. But I'll tell you, it's a transitory feeling, and sooner or later you're going to have to go home or go to bed and come back to reality. One summer evening, a violent thunderstorm was overhead, and a mother was tucking her little boy into bed. She was about to turn out the light. With a trembling voice, he said, "Mommy, I'm scared." and I'm lonely. Will you sleep in here with me tonight?" And the mother gave him a big smile and a little pat on the head. And she said, "Honey, I can't do that. I have to go and sleep with your daddy." He looked up at her and in a shaky voice, he said, "That big sissy." The first thing that we have to do with loneliness is to determine why we are lonely. Now, I'm going to try to speed. I'll get to talking too fast if I'm not careful. But there's three kinds of loneliness. I want you to put this in your mind. Three kinds of loneliness. Dr. Jeffrey Young has broken this down, and I believe it's, I read it and affirmed my spirit, so I put it in here. First of all, there's transient loneliness. Transient loneliness. It's up there on the board above you or behind me. Transient loneliness, when we know what a transient is, we have a lot of them that come in here. They're just here temporarily. They just come and then they go. It's a loneliness that can last anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours. And periodically, almost every one of us experiences a transient loneliness. It's just a temporary thing where you feel, in the moment, you feel lonely. Then there's a situational loneliness that results from a situation, a significant event, if you please. That's why it's called situational. You are lonely because your spouse died. Your best friend has moved away. You moved to a totally different location where you don't know anyone. There's all kinds of illustrations of situational loneliness. You go off to college. And it's a new place, and though there are new people, you still are lonely for a while. Situational loneliness. And then the worst loneliness of all is called chronic loneliness. We know what chronic is if you're a medical person. That's where it hangs on. That's where people tend to become preoccupied with themselves and with their problems and harbor the feeling of hopelessness. And with their problem, they just feel like there's no way out. If we give in to a feeling of hopelessness, we are in essence determining to be lonely. Dr. Young classifies as chronically lonely individuals or people who feel lonely for more than 2 years at a time, apart from a traumatic event. Did you get that? Chronically. Now, sometimes there's traumatic events that make us feel lonely or cause loneliness for several years. But he says people that you can call yourself someone suffering from chronic loneliness if you have a feeling of deep loneliness more than 2 years apart from some traumatic event. Now, I personally believe that one of the greatest causes of loneliness is a lack of a true, meaningful, intimate relationship with God. Don't want to put a guilt trip on myself or anyone else when you feel lonely. But have you ever considered that the first human emotion Adam felt in the Garden of Eden was loneliness? You ever thought about that? He went and hid himself and he said, "I was afraid because I know." So he went and hid himself, got away. He was lonely. There was a man who went to see a psychiatrist one time and he asked the doctor if he would give him a split personality. The doctor said, "Why do you want a split personality?" He said, "At least that way I would have somebody to talk to." You don't need a split personality to take care of loneliness. Here's some steps in closing and that we can deal with, all right? First of all, if you want to deal with your loneliness, you have to reach up. Jesus understands your loneliness because he himself felt the greatest of all loneliness on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's what the depth of loneliness is. It's to feel totally abandoned and forsaken. The psalmist is talking there about what Jesus experienced on the cross. Here's the words. all day long in Psalm 102 again. My enemies taught me. Those who rail against me, my name as a curse, use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's why I can tell you, even though you may feel alone, though while you can feel very lonely and be very lonely, you are not alone. God the Father will not turn his back on you. God the Holy Spirit will not turn his back on you. And by the way, you may be lonely, but you're never alone. Does not Hebrews 13 say, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you? We could go on. I could give you a number of verses. So the first part there that we have is read up. Read up. Be up. Pray up. Sometimes when people get lonely, they get depressed, they don't pray. They don't want to pray. Pray up. Don't ever neglect, no matter how lonely or hopeless or helpless or angry or fearful you are, don't try to make it alone. Ask God to be with you. So read up or look up, however you want to put it. I don't care what you want to put in there. Pray up. Reach out. Reach out. Someone has said these words. It's no new thing to be lonely. It comes to all of us sooner or later. If we try to retreat from it, we end up, his words, in a darker hell. But if we face it, if we remember there are a million others like us, if we try to reach out and comfort them and not ourselves, reach out. That's where that comes from. And then the last point there to deal with it, and you might put this down in your notes there, I added this after I read it. So we read up, we pray up, we reach up, and then D, you can write that at the bottom, remember back. Remember back. Psalm 142:7, and I close with loneliness. 142:7. I want to read that to you. I thought I had it marked. I don't, but we'll look it up. It says, bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to you. Do you feel like you're in a prison of loneliness? If you do, there's hope for you. The righteous will surround you, or surround me, he says, for you will deal bountifully with me. So remember back of all of the times that God's past acts of mercy have delivered you and brought you through when you felt like you couldn't go on. I love that verse where it says, when you walk through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So, I like this poem or this psalm by Ludi Pickett, 1897, a very godly woman. She and her husband were instrumental in the founding of Asbury Seminary. She said, I've seen the lightning flashing and I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No. Never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Listen to this verse. The world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen. Oh, the temptations come from to do so many unlawful, sinful things when you're lonely that you wouldn't do if you were up spiritually. But he says here, she says, the world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I tread the road of care, my Savior helps me carry the cross that is so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys have flown, my Savior whispers His promise, I will never leave you alone. Shall we pray? Father, there's probably a number of us here tonight that are lonely, that we feel like that owl in the ruins of a barn, or like a sparrow sitting all by itself on the gable of a roof. But Your promise is, I will never leave you. Look unto Me. Appropriate My grace for your situation. By faith, You're telling us there never is a predicament or a problem in our life, no matter how hopeless, helpless, or lonely we feel, but what Your grace is sufficient, and You will give us what we need to bring us through to glorify Your name. Seal these words to our hearts. With your heads bowed, I just wonder tonight, anyone here that would say, Pastor, I battle one of these lonelinesses, these types that you've talked about, I transient loneliness, situational loneliness, or chronic loneliness. I battle these sometimes more than I care to admit. But I'm asking God tonight, if I'm in that situational loneliness, or if I'm in that era of chronic loneliness, I want to recognize tonight by an uplifted hand that I believe, though I may not feel it tonight, I believe by faith God's going to bring me through. If there's anyone here tonight in that situation, just lift your hand and put it down. God will see it and He'll help you. I see that hand. Any others? I am lonely and I believe God will help me. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? And that one. Father, it's not a sin to be lonely, but it is the pathway to sinfulness if we're not careful. So help us not to go on a guilt trip about being lonely, but help us to be filled with the awareness that we dare not tread that pathway mile after mile, day after day, year after year, without jeopardizing ourselves, because then we move from loneliness to loner. And Your word has a lot to say about the perils and the dangers of being a loner. Don't let us pride ourselves or retreat to say, well, I'm just a loner. There's no virtue in being a loner. Your word, I didn't touch on it, but Your word has all kinds of exhortation about being a loner. That's why You want to help us through our loneliness, that it doesn't carry us further down the road of negativity. Seal these words to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.